Laura Boosinger, and this is Pandemic Arts, the audio version of the streaming video series where artists talk about how they're coping with the global pandemic. The Flat Rock Playhouse roots date back to 1937, when a group of struggling performers organized themselves as the Vagabond Players. In 1940, the Players found themselves in the Blue Ridge Mountains of western North Carolina, and in 1961, the North Carolina General Assembly designated Flat Rock Playhouse as the official state theater of North Carolina. During the COVID crisis, the entire 2020 season has been canceled. What do you do when your mantra is, the show must go on?
From the top, a 5, 6, 7, 8!
Up until COVID knocked us out, we were ahead of all of our projections and really trending toward a ridiculously successful season, financially speaking. Flat Rock Playhouse started about 80 years ago as the Vagabond Players with our founder, Rob Roy Farquhar, who was living in New York and then in Miami looking for a permanent home for his theater. The Vagabond Players were just a roving group of his friends, of actors and his friends who would get together in the summers for a few weeks and just have this beautiful respite and do great theater. That led him into a journey to North Carolina. He took a trip up here and fell in love with the area. World War II hit. He went. He left. Served in World War II, and then immediately came right back here to Hendersonville, North Carolina. And eventually, by 1952, a lady that owned the Lowndes House, our big white house, offered him the house and said, do you want this property to set up your permanent home? And he said yes, and we've been here as Flat Rock Playhouse since 1952. In the mid-60s, we became the State Theater of North Carolina through connections and friends, and the state legislature honored us with that moniker. It doesn't, for those folks out here who think that means that we're funded by the state, it absolutely does not mean that. We do get a really lovely grant that we're super grateful for, but that accounts for less than 3% of actually our annual budget. So we don't want it to go away, but it does not fund us or keep us open. Just about 80% of our revenue is from ticket sales. There was a recession. There were a lot of big, amazing, beautiful, wonderful dreams for bringing the theater into the 21st century. And the cost of some of those dreams got a little big. The current team has been bailing and, making really tough calls and a whole lot of sacrifices to remediate some of that financial damage that the theater had gotten into. When I stepped into this position 7 years ago, that's where we were. And we were very, very close to closing. It's almost a miracle that we didn't close, actually, but we didn't. And that's one of the things that's particularly devastating about where we are now, because we were trending and we were ahead of all of our projections going into 2020 to have the best financial year that we've had in over a decade. When our tickets went on sale in mid-January, we broke all known box office records. In one day, we did like $80,000, almost $90,000 in sales, which is insane.
Well, here's the 50 years, my friend. And may you not spend one more without female companionship.
Don't start with this again.
I'm serious. The fact that a man has to be taken out on his 50th birthday by a friend, and a male friend, no less, there is something deeply disturbing about that, Bill.
I'm fine.
No, you're not fine. Not yet. But you soon will be.
What's that supposed to mean?
When COVID entered the picture, we had no idea really what was going to happen. We just knew that we had to shut down. The governor said, you have to shut down. So we were in the middle of the opening week of our kid show, Charlotte's Web, and we cut shows, we rearranged shows, and we planned our season to open in July by rearranging the lineup. By the end of May, that was done. And we knew that we were going to have to be closed for the whole season, and that financially it made the most sense to, unfortunately, furlough the greater portion of our people, cancel the contracts of the seasonal technical employees that were about to start arriving, and sort of pull everything in and push our 2020 season to 2021 and figure out how to ride the wave. We had to make the call very early on financially to retain as much financially as we possibly could in order to have enough to get us through the end of the year so that we had something to open with for next year. Broadway is closed till 2021. The West End in London is closed till 2021. Now we don't look quite as maybe crazy to people as we might have looked in the beginning. So now folks are like, oh, wow, you guys were prophetic in your decision making. Our full-time staff normally is just about 30 people, so we are now down to 11 total. So really what you find left is the admin people. We still have to raise money, so development is there. We still have to communicate with our patrons, so marketing is there. We still have 14 acres and facilities that we have to maintain, so the facilities people are still there. My finance person and me, our box office personnel. We now have just our box office manager in the box office. And then I've got a couple of my artistic associate and my production manager. Between the two of them are swinging six other departments now and sort of filling in manpower wherever it's needed since we're so small. The best case scenario for us looking into 2021 would be to start producing as early in 2021 as possible. We're really proud of the last 7 years of bailing water that we've done because it's put us in a position where we're able to weather almost an entire year without producing anything. If this had happened to us 2 years ago, we wouldn't have been able to survive this long. So I'm really proud of that, but it runs out, right? It's anybody's kitchen, dining room checkbook, right? No money coming in, only money going out, that equation has one ending. So we've got to be able to produce really soon in 2021 or it gets scary.
Pandemic Arts is produced by the Will and Danny McIntyre Foundation in partnership with the Blue Ridge Music Trails of North Carolina, the Madison County Arts Council, and WNCW. Pandemic Arts is adapted for radio by Corey Askew and Joe Kendrick. Our theme music is written and performed by Zoe and Cloyd. Major funding is provided by the Ray Bigelow Charitable Trust, the Carlisle Adams Foundation, and Fred and Lauren Weed. Stay safe and keep singing. Thank you.